Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. This is Jen. I normally say I'm calling from the monastery, but I'm not this week. We're calling from our New Year's Santa Sabina retreat, and we have a very special guest with us today, Jan Letender, who is a part of the Sangha in the Southeast. Actually, we've been talking a lot with our Southeast folks lately. They're a really committed part of the Sangha. Jan is, among many, many other things to the Sangha, she facilitates the Best Year Yet process that we now do annually as an organization and also as individuals. And Jan comes out every year to the Bay Area and does the individual Best Year Yet workshop with us. And we have that coming up on Sunday, January 16th. So welcome, Jan.
Thank you, Jen.
So I thought, Jan, we might start by just kind of describing for people a little bit about what the Best Year Yet process is, kind of what, why it came into being and what purpose it serves and all of those good things.
Yeah, it was fun today. I was taking some notes in anticipation of the call because for me there are so many different ways to describe what Best Year Yet is. And I was thinking about, you know, the work we're doing currently with Sherry with the new book and the recordings and kind of what's cutting edge with our practice right now. And in thinking about that, you know, the way I would describe Best Year Yet that I think is in sync with that is that it's a system that supports the practice of making and keeping commitments to ourselves. And, you know, I say a system because it starts with making a plan, which is what we'll be doing together in January. But then really it's more than that because there are kind of built into it is various ways in which someone can stay connected to that plan, stay accountable, and just be in practice with finding that place of integrity in ourselves. So that's how I would describe just generally what it's about.
And I can just, you know, speak to my experience of that's so true that the what I notice as we're doing this new recording practice and kind of making an even deeper level of a commitment on an individual level and as an entire Sangha to practice, I notice that the tools that I have with Best Year Yet, sort of that muscle, if you will, that I've been building over the years, is coming really in handy. In fact, I have a practice, part of my sort of morning practice routine is to read my Best Year Yet, my annual Best Year Yet plan every day. And my entire plan really is around practice and around the things that I want for myself in practice. And it's such a support for looking at, okay, what do I want? And then helping me to sort of drill down into how am I going to connect what I want, sort of like how am I going to get from point A to point B? How am I going to do that? How am I going to support myself in really having these things that I want for myself in my life?
Exactly. And that's, you know, when I first found Best Year Yet, I bumped into the book a long time ago, but it was a, it was exactly that for me. And I've said this in the workshop most every year. It was this practical bridge from, okay, now I see where I want to go, but some system to help me consistently be in the practice of moving with and to that. So,
You know what's fun for me, too, is every year when you come out and we say this is now the, I don't even, do you know what the annual, is it like the 9th or 10th or something?
Somewhere in there, yeah. Someone will know. I know Jodine usually brings her workbooks, and she's my touchstone for how long we've been doing this.
And one of the things I love about that is I think I've heard you say that folks in the larger Best Year Yet organization know about this group that you facilitate, this, you know, us out here in California, because not that many groups do it year after year after year. And I love that because I know that often there's this sense of, yeah, well, we've done that. I mean, we don't need to do that again this year. We know that process and on to something new. And I feel like what Best Year Yet offers and what we're able to put in practice as a Sangha is, of course, we've never done this before. It's brand new. And it just the process of it fosters that going deeper and deeper and deeper, and every year making those that same commitment to ourselves that we want to make.
Yeah, and we probably are the longest running, public workshop group that I'm aware of anyway. And I love coming out there and doing it with the Sangha because, you know, inherently for me, our Sangha, our organization, and, you know, Sherry for years as our guide, you know, has always brought fun and interesting and creative ways for us to look at practice, look at how we cause ourselves to suffer. And it feels new, even though every year half the group has been there doing it for 9 or 10 years, half the group at the workshop, it seems, is always a group of new folks. So we have that nice balance of freshness and then people who are grounded and, you know, can provide some credibility for the process as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because, of course, now I've done it so many years, and so I watch myself, not even meaning to do it, but as we're leading up to the workshop, I sort of watch myself knowing what exercises we're going to do and framing up, this could be that. And every time, invariably, I get to the workshop the day of, and it's completely different than any of that lead-up stuff. This whole brand-new thing presents itself to me.
Than what you had imagined, yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. So another neat thing about it is that it's become such a part of what we do annually as a Sangha that people are now coming from all over the place. Last year, a woman flew in from Boston to do the workshop.
Yeah.
So it's really becoming a centerpiece of how we do practice. And I think your point is a good one with this really deepening commitment in the last year. We were just talking, sort of looking back at this past year and how much has happened in practice. And it feels like a Best or Yet plan is a great way to ground all of those many, many, many commitments everyone is making on a daily basis to practice.
Yeah, and you mentioned, Jen, that your plan is focused pretty completely around practice. And, you know, this past year, I know we had the personal participation plans or personal practice plans. And, you know, there's definitely an opportunity for people to use any kind of context when they come to a Best or Yet plan. They can create it just around their practice, or they can create it kind of whole life, or create it around, you know, small business they're doing or like that. So people can come and use it in whatever way is more supportive for them.
Yeah, there's a lot of flexibility built into the system.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Do I have time for one more quick little comment?
Please.
I was actually, my son Luke's reading a book, and he found this little phrase in it today. He said, "Mom, listen to this. It says that measurement equals motivation, that when you measure something, it's motivating." And it really got my attention around, you know, Best or Yet and talking tonight, because that's another great piece of it is, I think by writing things down and by kind of declaring commitments to ourselves, that measurement piece can also be very inspirational and motivating. So that's just another big plus for me of doing the process.
Yes, and then that measurement leads perfectly to celebrating. And I think in the Best or Yet model, one of the things that struck me from the very beginning when you present it is how often we overlook that phase of the actual word they use is eluding me right now, but really recognizing the accomplishments that that we've made. And that measuring is a great way to do that. In fact, we were just talking about that today. You know, as I said, we're on our New Year's retreat, and we were talking about doing the recording practice, and people were reporting how much they love, for those folks who have been in the email class, and it continued on through December. They sent us out a little calendar that you could print out, a calendar of December, and each day had two little check boxes on it, one for recording and one for listening. And we were all confessing how fun it was to use that and how that was, you know, on days where it was, I don't really feel like it, or they don't, that just that fun sort of checking off the box is an extra oomph to kind of keep that commitment that I really do want to keep.
Yeah, it's so true. Yep. So true. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jan. Anything else you want to offer or comment on before we end?
I don't think so. I appreciate the opportunity to speak about the workshop, and I always, of course, am honored and appreciate the opportunity to come out there and be with everyone. So, as usual, I'll be looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, big ditto from our end. We're really looking forward to having you out here. Can't wait. And for folks who have not signed up, there is still room, so go ahead and do that. So thanks for being with us, Jan.
Thanks, Jen. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Good night.
Take care. So I'm going to turn it over to Dave for the rest of the show.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My name's Dave. I am filling in for Michael this evening. And it's my pleasure to welcome everyone to the show. We actually have a very special show lined up tonight for two reasons. One is, as Jen alluded to, we're doing our show tonight from Santa Sabina Retreat Center, where we're on our yearly New Year's retreat. We've got a great big crowd of folks here. They're all listening in the meditation hall, and Sherry's here with us at the center, too, so we're really excited about that. The other thing that's special about this show tonight is because we're here at Santa Sabina, we are unable to play the music and the little ads that are normally in the show, which is actually kind of a benefit for us tonight because it gives us extra time to talk to everyone. So that's something else that's unusual and special about the show. So it's my pleasure to welcome Sherry to the show tonight. You there, Sherry?
I am, Dave.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I love that positive spin that you put on everything. I love that. So
yeah,
we don't have any commercials tonight, and that's good news because instead of that we've been scrambling around trying to figure out how to do it and couldn't figure out how to do it, and so that's why they're not going to be here.
Yeah, it was really true. That's kind of how life is, isn't it? Because
uh-huh.
Throw something that like that our way, and we'll realize there's actually something really good in it just about every time.
Yeah, there's a benefit. We might not see it immediately, but if we sit still with it long enough, it'll appear.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Yep. So fun listening to those guys talk about best year yet, I thought. I'll put my own personal little plug in for it. I think it's one of the best things going for kind of the way I was thinking of it as they were talking is bringing a consciousness to life and really being able to live, you know, kind of our highest understanding.
Yes. Yeah. And I think I say every year, because I often get a chance to introduce Jan, that it's my favorite workshop of the year. Absolutely. No question about it. So,
mm-hmm.
I hope people who are kind of on the fence will jump in and join us because it really is it's just a fun sangha day.
Yeah, it really is. Well, part of it, I think, was what's fun about it is we're all together, you know, doing something really positive and powerful for ourselves together. And I think part of it, too, is just it really, really feels good to bring that kind of consciousness to life and know that it's true. I'm going to have my best year yet.
Yes.
Every year is going to be my best year yet because we keep kind of taking those steps forward towards where we know we want to go.
Yeah, and I'm very excited to do best year yet in conjunction with the new recording practice.
Mm-hmm.
I think
yeah.
That's just going to take it through the roof.
Me too. It almost feels to me like, I wouldn't really say it's a missing link because I don't really feel like anything's been missing, but it's going to add a depth to it never been there before. Because that's always the hard part about the plan. You make this fabulous plan, but how are you going to keep it in your awareness throughout the whole year? And recording, you know, finds a day-by-day way of doing that in a way that's really powerful because you can put your plan on the recording, but you also can put all kinds of reminders about why you want to do it and why it's important to you and things to look out for that might get in the way.
Yeah, and one of the aspects that I've struggled with over the years is finding a regular time to sort of go over the plan and set my intention on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And with the recordings, I can see the ability to do it daily. So using the making a change for good model, you know, I can listen to it the night before what my intention is for the next day. I can listen in the morning to confirm that that is in fact my focus, and then I can be with the plan during the day, and that evening I can check in again and have a sense of how I did. So good support all around.
Yep, you'll be able to keep it in your awareness pretty much all the time that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't need to make one of those posters that that I make every year that are so exciting to make, but after about 3 months of looking at it every day, it's just not as attractive as I thought it was when I first got my color crayons out and made it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And you know what? One of the things I love about the recording is it's really dynamic, and because you can continually add to it. And so probably, you know, we'll be going along doing our best year yet plan and having all kinds of insights about it and awarenesses and new directions and things we want to add. And we can keep that alive with the recording in a way something like that poster notebook could do.
Right. It just looks more tired all the time, no matter how enthusiastic I remain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So let's see. We only had one little announcement tonight. It's about the Health Classics workshop coming up in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Wanted to keep that in folks' awareness. I actually, is that the 7th and 8th of January, perhaps?
Whatever the Friday night and Saturday. It's an evening on Friday and then all day Saturday. They don't go together necessarily, but I'll be there for both those times.
So people could participate in all or just one or the other. Okay, good. Great. I happen to know we've got a whole bunch of callers lined up. I want to remind folks as they call in, we're trying to have it be so we can talk to as many people as possible. So if folks wouldn't mind keeping their the things they're bringing to one topic and maybe 5 minutes or so, that would work really well for everyone.
Great.
You ready for the first one, Sherry?
I am.
Okay,
thank
here we
you,
go.
Dave.
Okay, first caller, you should be on the air. Can you let us know you're there and introduce yourself?
Yes, hi, this is Julianne.
Hey, Julianne.
Hi, how are you?
Good, happy holidays.
You too. You too. Well, I'm calling in as I committed, and it's been a little while since my last call, but I made it this time.
Very good. What's going on?
So I just wanted to check in and attempt to keep my commitment. I did get your latest book, and it is so fabulous. I've read the first half, pretty much in the first day that I got it, and I just noticed that I have the recordings to do, so that's going to be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm very excited to do those. But what I noticed from the first half of the book was that I had sort of lost one of the major foundations of the practice, which was directing my attention. And that reminded me I was trying to go about and be as aware as possible, but my attention was pretty much running around as it wanted. I wasn't aware of where it was going. I was watching
following,
it go wherever it wanted. Huh?
Yeah, following old habits.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to, do a lot of things that are good for me, yet without that directed attention, the ego was running the show and getting in there very easily.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good to see.
Yeah, so, I'd been kind of bouncing back and forth between the light room and the dark room, loving life when I'm in the light room and feeling very lost. And today I woke up in the dark room and I thought, okay, here's my chance to, redirect my attention.
Uh-huh.
And then I heard a voice, but where do I redirect it? And I said, okay, the breath. I just started there. And pretty soon, this whole thing lifted. And I was feeling tired. I just was thinking, oh, my gosh, I didn't sleep well enough. Everything was just doom and gloom. And it lifted. I had energy. It was fantastic. just seeing that I had the ability to, you know, I remembered what you said, that it's a portal to recognize in the dark, that you're in the dark room is a portal to the light room. And I was saying that to myself, okay, I can do it, you know. But it worked.
Yeah, well, that's great. I'm so glad that you laid it out like that. The first thing that struck me is that you woke up and realized you were in the dark room.
Mm-hmm.
That's just huge. I mean, you know, probably all of us spent years waking up in the dark room, having no idea that's where we were. Just waking up into, oh, God, I don't feel good. Am I depressed? I don't have any, like you say, you know, I didn't sleep well. Now the day is going to be crummy. And just to have that, oh,
you are so
I'm
right.
in the dark room. You've already, you know, you're at the threshold right there.
Yeah.
With just realizing where you are and naming it. And then you start looking around for your attention. And, of course, you're using your attention to look for your attention, so you've got it. Poof, you pop out, and all of that energy that was being sucked into something that was going to be used to maintain conditioning suddenly is freed up, and you have so much energy you can hardly believe you're the same person.
Exactly.
It's
amazing.
Fabulous. It is. It's, you know, it's such a simple process, but because we haven't known about it, because it wasn't available to us, it's downright miraculous when we actually do it and it works.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. I'm glad you read the book. I'm glad you do the practice. You know, it reminds me of something else when you said that you had lost this kind of major tool. And I think I mentioned this on the radio show before, but I've reflected on it a lot lately because I talk to so many people who have this feeling that, okay, I have this recording and listening tool. I have direct access to the mentor, immediate direct access to well-being. That's kind of all I need. And in a way, that's true. And in a way, all it really does is give us the possibility to actually begin practice. You know how I said forever, awareness practice doesn't begin until the beating stops. And so to be able to get to center and to practice from there, oh, my goodness.
Right. Yeah.
So there are lots of tools that I'm hoping people will revisit. So now's the time to do work with aspects of the personality. Now's the time really to benefit from a knowledge of projection, to recognize beliefs and assumptions for what they are and to step free of them. There's just so much great stuff to be able to explore when self-hate is not the one running the show.
Oh, my gosh. It is so true. I feel that way. It's because I the knowledge of what center is always there, and then the work is fun because of that.
Precisely. Yeah, so you kind of an image is you and your mentor are holding hands and exploring life and the universe.
That is so, oh my gosh, I had a dream. Well, I have 5 minutes, so I can't go into my next, what I just thought of, but yeah.
Call me
it's
soon.
It's just wonderful. Oh,
check
I will,
in.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Okay, thank you very, very much. You too.
You're welcome. Good
okay,
night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Happy New Year.
You too. Bye.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Julianne. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was great. Yeah, it's neat to what you're saying about the recording and the practice. I've been looking at that too. That it's, you know, it's not like it's any different from anything we've ever done. It's a support for it, and it's almost like we can begin with this new tool.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's a, I project, there's a confidence that comes with it. You know, one of the things that I'm getting from reading the responses in the email class is that, people are having deep, big, real experiences of what is egocentric karmic conditioning? When am I identified with that? When is it talking? When am I seeing through its eyes? And when am I at center? When is it my heart or authentic nature that I'm seeing life, the world from? And knowing that I can get back to center, that I can step free of karmic conditioning and self-hate, get back to center gives a level of confidence about exploring. You know, I'm not listening to a voice that says, oh, God, you know, you can't, but what about? There's the voice of the mentor with that information that says, oh, go ahead. You know, it's fine. You really can't go wrong. Play with it. You know, step out there. It's your life. Enjoy it. And that attitude of mind, I think, is just going to open up such a world of adventure for people.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's really interesting to think about it in that way, as it's a sort of a vehicle beyond self-hate and all of the just incredible resistance that people run into, especially at the beginning of practice, but really all the way through practice, to get us to the place where we can really practice with life rather than practicing, you know, in the middle of a constant bombardment and just a constant sort of drag on our attention from the voices.
Yeah. Well, practicing in spite of karmic conditioning. You know, I'm hoping that one of the things that people will get as they go through this transition is what a heroic effort it is to do practice in the face of all of that resistance from self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, that takes a lot of guts to go up against that every day. You know, I decide I want to meditate, and there's just, you know, all this stuff that comes at me to get me not to do it and to stop and tell me what a rotten, worthless person I am and I'm never going to be successful. You know, to keep showing up in the face of that, wow. And then, of course, to realize what it's like to sit down to meditate with loving kindness and what the world that opens up.
Yeah, very powerful. You know, I heard you say something recently, an idea that, hey, you know, maybe the thing we ought to do first is teach people how to do the recording and then teach people about the five processes, like, you know, projections and beliefs and assumptions, teaching about the voices and stuff. And what I was just seeing as you were saying that is, you know, perhaps if we do that, we can help people make that transition, because I think a lot of times people will come across practice and start, and then the backlash from conditioning is so huge that, you know, they get turned away, and they never really have a fair shot at finding out what practice is all about. But with that tool, perhaps they can actually make that transition.
Yes. Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. So just to tell you what's going on here, Sherry, we're having a little technical difficulty, so I think it's me and you for just a little while.
Oh, okay. We're new at this.
Yeah. So, but that's good.
Yeah. Yes, and we'll see. I talked to a number of people recently that we're going to probably, very likely, extend the email class again,
mm-hmm.
and that what people are going to have an opportunity to do is be coached through the practice, the process of mentoring somebody else as they learn the recording and listening practice.
Wow, that is a really good idea.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that because, you know, one of the things that I'm hoping will happen with this, of course, is that it just spreads like wildfire across the planet. And
mm-hmm.
So that seems a good way to get that moving in a good direction. I don't know. I do it with a little trepidation because, you know, I'm hoping that the mentor gets a chance to mentor rather than self-hate sneaking into mentor. But if self-hate winds up taking over the process, then we'll have a chance to look at that and find out how to sidestep it. And, you know, they're all things that we have to learn how to practice with if we're going to actually be free and not just in a state of avoidance.
Well, it's really no different than practice is in general because, or even before the recording it was like that, because you start practice and then it's very likely the first thing you're going to run into is self-hate. And,
yes.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the first thing that we have to see. And so
yes.
It really wouldn't be any different.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of people, when they first start doing practice, decide that they're going to do some unsolicited mentoring with their family and friends, and that's usually extremely unpopular. So the one thing that we'll get going with this is you get somebody's agreement that they want to learn this practice and
mm-hmm.
then do the process of mentoring them. So
well, like everything else we do.
Not proselytizing.
Yeah, we would set up a structure to make it really successful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What are you guys doing over there?
Well, we had an idea. We're having some software problems, but what we're thinking we can do is we can get some callers, kind of in quote, from our retreatants over in the meditation hall.
Well, we do have quite a lovely pool to draw from over there.
Yep, wonderful people. Jen's actually heading over there right now with a phone, and so we should be hearing from them in just a moment. So,
all right. Have we covered all of our topics?
Hang on, just a second. Hang on just a second, Sherry.
All right.
Actually, while they're figuring that out, we can keep going. You know, another thing, Jerry, that was occurring to me about the recording is that it's kind of the end of an evolution that we've been through in the last number of months and really even the last couple of years, where we've gone from being a practice that was not connected technologically really at all to one that started to be connected. We began to be able to connect to each other more and more through phone conferencing and through the Internet. And along with that, at the same time, came essentially more and more support and more ways to be involved on a daily basis. You know, the last iteration before the recording was the Practice Everywhere project with the tweets coming in. And the recording has just taken that up to a whole nother level because, you know, really it's possible for a person to be completely connected with practice and completely connected with center, or at least the possibility of center, really every moment of every day in a really concrete way.
Yes, and somebody was saying to me today that there's such a feeling, such an interesting thing that this practice would appear to be so solitary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's me and a conversation with a recording device. And yet the sense of doing that work is one of such deep connection, not only with other people who we know are doing this specific work, but with people all over the world who are practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, it's so true. You know, I had the experience when was it, yesterday that people arrived? You know, we're getting ready for the retreat, and, you know, suddenly we have 40-some people here. They're all here, and here they come, actually. here come our callers. But anyway, they're all here, and just feeling people arrive and knowing that, in a way, it's solitary because we're all in a privileged environment. We're not speaking to each other, but the depth of support and just the feeling of connection that comes with all doing it together is immense. And I think it's the same with the recording because we're all, you know, all over the world at this point, people are doing this process, and we're all sort of connected to the mentor in the same way at the same time.
Yes, and that is that's the most essential point of all. So karmic conditioning wants people to believe that they're separate and isolated and alone, because, of course, that's the experience that keeps karmic conditioning alive. And so coming back to the mentor connects us to our hearts. So here we are all walking around this place together, all walking around this earth together, and it appears that we are solitary because of the practice that we're doing. But what we're actually doing is dropping a solitary relationship with karmic conditioning and connecting to all that is, to one another, through our hearts, through the mentoring.
That's a very beautiful thing, isn't it? I'd really got that when you said that. We're all connecting in the same place.
That's right. That's right. It's like it's funny, too, that it's technology, you know, but it's like we're all plugging in. We're plugging into our authentic nature, which is the same for all of us. It is what we share. It's all it is, actually. And so each time we return through this process to our hearts, we become, in that second, consciously aware of our interconnectedness with all life.
It's like we join in a place where we're all one.
Yes. Yes. Who you
Speaking
got
of,
there?
Well, we've got all sorts of brave souls have joined us here, and it looks like first up is Claire.
All right.
Good evening, Sherry.
Hello, Claire.
Good evening.
What's going on?
I don't often get the opportunity to call in, so this is a real treat for me. And I wanted to share, talk about a parenting issue. So first of all, I have a wonderful five-year-old boy, and because his parents, me and his father, are often listening to recordings, he has taken to wanting to do recordings too, and often records how much he loves himself, and we play that back to him. And I just want to share that just what a sweet blessing it is to be passing on that place of self-mentoring to my child.
Oh, I can't tell you how that warms my heart. Yeah, that is so thrilling, because he's going to learn who you are, right? He's going to learn how to be a human being through watching you and his father. And so what he's learning about what human beings do is they do practices that bring them back to a loving place in themselves so that they can be more loving in the world. Wow.
Exactly. And then the parenting piece is that sometimes I find that in relationship to this particular child, that together we go to a place, it's a familiar place where he's really frustrated about something that he wants and isn't getting in the moment, and I get frustrated with him being frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's occurred to me, I haven't tried this yet, but it occurred to me that it might be helpful for us to stop listening to our recordings at that time, you know, to play out loud, that, you know, him saying to himself that he loves himself, and me also listening to a recording about how much I take care of and love myself, just to try and shift the energy around that.
Yes, and here's another piece of it that I would love it if you, the two of you, would try together. Talk,
yes.
Each of you talk, record what the frustration is, how it feels, how it feels in your body, the stress, the energy, the whatever it is. You know, what do you each hear in your head? He's obviously hearing a conversation in his head about this whatever it is that he wants, and some level of urgency about, you know, so could he articulate what goes on with him, and then the two of you work out what is a better way to approach this, you know, whatever that is. I mean, it's probably going to be something along the lines of, he's going to realize he can't always have what he wants at the time. You're going to look at how much you can be available to help him get whatever it is that he wants and needs in the moment. But the transition is going to be to him getting what he needs in the moment, which is in touch with himself, feeling all right, feeling satisfied, feeling happy and grateful, whatever is going on, and then listening to that when those situations arise.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure I get this. This sounds like I'm really excited around this. When we both realize that we're in this place, and I do name it when we get in this place because it's a familiar place to all of us, to then bring in the possibility of making recordings at that time about how we're each feeling and see where we get from there.
So you can do some reflecting, drawing out with him to get him to talk about what goes on with him. You know, so he really wants this. He wants this now. He's upset. What's that like for him? You know, to talk it through so that when he hears it recorded back, he'll recognize that that's what he hears inside of his head.
Right.
Okay? And then what would make him feel better? What does he really need? And to work, you know, just sort of mentor him to a place of, well, it's actually not getting what we want that makes us feel better. It seems that way, but it's not being upset, and it's feeling loved and connected, and you know, however that works out for the two of you. And to recognize it's going to be a process. It'll be, you know, you'll want to set up one track or whatever it is, you know, one file on your recorders to work on an issue like this, so that you know you can go back and forth. And I just find it really inspiring for parents to move out of that, because I'm the parent, that's why, into a role of two human beings who are in different places in life, different roles, different in relationship to one another, but not one is more adequate than the other, and that both are working toward a place of well-being within themselves and supporting one another to get there?
Well, I get such a sense of relief and freedom around that, that we're working together on this to get our own sense of well-being and freedom. That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. You will let me know, won't you?
I'll let you know. I will report back for sure. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Claire. Good night.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us, Claire. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Who's next? Lisa.
Hi, Sherry. This is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, this is my first time on your show, and I'm one of those people, or so far, I've always been wanting to call, but there's a voice that says, well, you'll never get on. So I thought, you know, I don't.
Nanner.
This is sure thing right now. So that's why. And I wanted to report back on some guidance I got from a monk. And again, while I had that guidance, the monk said, make sure you call in the radio show and report back. And a voice said, that'll never happen. So I want to report on the guidance and what actually happened. So what I was seeking guidance on was when I drive over the Bay Bridge into San Francisco, I see the TV tower, and I associate it with my uncle who died about a year ago. And so it's this big, that big TV tower on top of Twin Peaks is kind of the landmark for the city. And so he was an uncle I loved a lot. He was 89, but he committed suicide, and I found his body. And what had happened was every time I drove over the bridge, the first thing you see is the TV tower, and I would just remember that I would just feel awful, you know, like remember that he was gone, how he went. And I could, the TV tower, every time you're in the city, you just can't miss it. I would see it when I got out of, it's near where I work. I could see it very clearly when I step out of the office as well. So my guidance was that next time I drive over the bridge, have my recorder with me and talk to my recorder and seek mentoring on what to do. And so I would just, that's what I did. So as soon as I saw the TV tower, you know, the next time I drove over the bridge, I had my recorder. I got I recorded the physical sensations I got, which I just felt awful, like the pit of my stomach sank. And I just recorded what I felt. And then I was still driving and I played back the recording, I mentored myself through that. I played back the recording, and then I remembered that before he died, I always associated the TV tower with him. And I might see him only once a month, but every time I saw the TV tower, I would think of him. And I think, oh, I hope he's doing well. How's he doing? It's foggy where he is right now. I hope he's staying warm. So that very morning, that I was driving in, just playing back to me, I remembered I used to associate the TV tower in a positive way with him. And so it took me back to, so now when I see the TV tower, it kind of took me back to that earlier time. I would be thinking of him and thinking, oh, I hope he's well, and it would be a positive association. So it just turned it around that, just that very morning that I did the recording and listened back, and then I re-recorded, my new, wait a minute, I had this positive association with the TV tower, and now every time I see it, I just think positive things about him.
Yeah, that's good. So, wise monk,
yes.
wise person for doing the practice.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So, well done all around, huh? That's such a great approach to that kind of thing that the conditioning wants to use against us. We just turn it around and use it for us. And and everybody is better off for that.
Right. Yeah. It just shows the practice works and the recording works.
Yeah, and what a better I don't know what word I want exactly, but way to honor your uncle.
That's right.
To have that help you remember how much you loved him and what your relationship was like and the good times that you had together. So every time you see that, you just send out into the world all of that loving energy that he brought into your life.
Right. So, and again, like you said, a wise monk for catching that I was in the clutches of conditioning, like he recognized that it was diabolical.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks a lot for jumping in that way, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Okay, we're on a roll here, Sherry, in the Rose Room. Shall we do another?
Yes, please.
Who would like to go next? Jessica.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Jessica. What's going on?
I'm curious. I've got this subpersonality that I've been becoming more and more aware of, and I'm kind of having challenges on differentiating. Like, it seems, subpersonalities are highly conditioned beings. Like, she's obviously, I can't tell the difference between it's like egocentric karmic conditioning is like so heavily infiltrated in this subpersonality that I'm wondering sometimes on how to mentor her, because it seems like it's getting into a relationship with self-hate and duality. Do you know what I mean?
Tell me a little about her.
Subpersonality is like, it's almost like she's this hungry ghost. She's the little girl who can't get enough attention. Like, she gets a little bit and she always wants more, I have this sense she can't be satisfied. Like, she can never get enough love and attention.
Uh-huh. And, okay. So, your approach in the past has been to try to give her attention and talk with her and work with her and include her and that sort of thing, and
yeah.
it's not enough.
Yeah.
And how is she when she doesn't get the attention that she wants?
She starts, it's like she's acting out. It's like she's going to look for it everywhere. You know, she'll start acting in certain ways to try to get attention from other people or,
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And, okay. And so, how old do you get a sense this child is?
About 3 or 4.
Okay. And how long have you known about her or been trying to take care of her from a centered place? Rather, I imagine there have been times when you didn't know it was a subpersonality, so you just acted out as her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like my whole life, probably.
okay. Since you were 3 or 4, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, probably, you know, about a year been working
okay.
with this. And recently that I've been, it's kind of like starting to see more of like this, like a duality continuum in it of like she gets a little attention and then like it's somehow like she can never, it's like it's a whole setup of self-hate, I think is what I'm seeing of
yeah.
she relates with other people because it's like if, like no one can, she's always looking for someone else to meet her needs and no one else can ever meet her needs. Like only, I guess that's what I'm kind of trying, it's like I'm kind of pulling out of the addiction of her seeking her needs, getting met from other people
yeah.
and learn to be in the relationship with her from the mentor, I guess.
Yeah. So, yes, that would be my encouragement. there's an old thing that I often refer to with Ron Dass when he was doing hospice work and he met the woman who was just miserable and depressed. Of course, she was dying. She was miserable and depressed and just in a terrible way. And he said, you know, I think the problem is that you're spending every hour dying. So how about if out of every hour you spend 10 minutes dying and 50 minutes living?
Mm.
And so with that, you know, my encouragement would be make an appointment with her every day with this little girl to spend time with her, you know, whatever fits your schedule. If it's a half hour or whatever, let her pick what she wants to do. And that's the time that you have exclusively with her. Now, if she gets on board with this, if you can mentor your way through and have an actual relationship with her and a relationship in which you are the authority. Okay, you're the grown-up, she's the child, and so you set boundaries and limits and that sort of thing, and see how that goes. If she responds to you as a child responds to an adult who is there and present and attentive and loving, great. If not, if it continues not to be enough, if it continues with her wanting to seek this and act out outside, I'm going to suggest that you're dealing with karmic conditioning and you cut her loose.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds really helpful already for me to, like, you know, schedule time to be as the mentor with the child instead of, because I think I'd had some challenges of, like, you know, just being identified as the child and the mentor
yep.
kind of at the same time and, like,
yep.
spending all the time trying to, the mentor trying to take care of the child,
yep.
like, all day. So
yeah, and it's very likely that it wasn't the mentor trying to take care of the child,
mm-hmm.
but rather karmic conditioning masquerading as that so that that relationship can continue to suck all of your energy.
Yes, yes. Okay, great.
So one thing, there are two things about telling whether it's karmic conditioning or aspect of the personality. Aspects of the personality want and need recognition and attention from you. Okay? If they can't get it from you, it's true they will look to other people. But as soon as you're available, you're the first choice. So,
yeah.
that, you know, that's one aspect. And there's another one, but I can't remember what it is.
Okay, that's really helpful. Thank
Maybe
you.
Dave will remember what the other one is. I know what it is. And you must never, ever leave center to go take care of anybody. So that's anybody internal, anybody external. Everybody has to come to center to be cared for.
Yeah.
You with me?
Oh, yeah.
Because as soon as you leave center, they've got you. And, of course, that's what karmic conditioning is constantly trying to do, is get you to come out here and deal with me on a content level where I will never be satisfied and you will never be free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And you'll let me know.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Good.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jessica. So for folks who are listening out there, you're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We're here at Santa Sabina Retreat Center. We're talking to some of the folks who are here with us. Who would like to go next? Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
When the opportunity came up, I thought, oh, this is great. I can practice being unprepared once again.
Yes.
And it's been really wild. It's like a whole workshop in itself, just the past like 10 minutes. It's phenomenal to me. I mean, I know that I keep talking to you about the same topic over and over, and yet there's so much there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, that's true with each one of us. If we're actually going to talk about what karmic conditioning is doing to us, it's going to be a very narrow topic, focus, right? Because karmic conditioning is doing to us what will provide the maximum amount of misery, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, of course, karmic conditioning wants to do a scattershot sort of a thing. So it brings up this and then this, and it has you over there looking at that, and then what about that and what about that? But after you've been practicing for as long as, say, you have, you recognize that it all pretty much comes down to one, maybe two processes that it's always running some form of, right? So the content will differ within the particular process, but once you see that it's the same process, then, yeah, you're going to be dealing with the same thing over and over and over and over and over.
And yes. And I just, when you said that, I just felt this huge sense of, it was both relief and this great welling of possibility that I know that I have been living with this all my life. And you're right, it's like every day in a million different ways how I need to present.
Yeah.
And the idea of, like, starting to see through it is so exciting.
Yes. Yeah, that what you just said, I saw it, you know, that one process could control every aspect of a person's life because it means how you need to be and how you have to orchestrate life. Now, that is beyond a full-time job. So if a person can be talked into, that's what you need to do, then it's got you second by second by second because it can always be, yeah, but you need to, well, but what about that? Yes, well, yeah, now that's going to, now what are you going to do about, when you have to?
That's it, Sherry. I mean, that is. Yes, and it's exhausting. And I don't think I've even realized until, like, you know, it's wild, but it's like since I've been bringing it up every time I call you now and really watching it, of course, now I'm getting to see it all the time.
Yes.
And it's amazing.
So, and another piece of it for everybody who's listening, it would want to convince you that you can't keep talking about that same thing. Okay? And, of course, if you do, you're going to realize that it's a one-trick pony and it's running the same scam on you in all of these areas in your life. Once you narrow it down to, oh, it's always that, then stepping free of it becomes much easier because you know that it's always the same movement that you need to make no matter what the circumstances.
Yes. And that's why, it's amazing. I feel so grateful to whatever part of me has the courage because, you know, I just talked to you a few hours ago about the same thing. And I was so embarrassed. And yet there's some part who's so willing, who's just like, no, you know, I'm just gonna show up. I'm gonna trust something.
That's right. That part of you who knows what the fetters are, the part who can see, no, this is the trap. No, this is where I'm trapped.
Yes. So, you know, every suggestion in the last, like, oh, wait, it's only been 10 or 15 minutes. Like, you know, talk about that, that'll look good. Or talk about that, that'll sound good. Or talk about that. And it's like, no, I'm done. No more. I don't want to do
that. That's right. Yeah.
So
one sure recording is a big thank you to the part who continues to show up in spite of, self-hate trying to humiliate her and make her feel stupid and, you know, all of those things that it does with, oh, God, you can't, you've got to have something planned here. You just cannot not have anything to, you're going to look, okay? The person who steadfastly continued down the path in spite of all of that needs a ticker tape parade. At least with a lot of, well, you know something about celebration, don't you? So I think you'll
a little bit.
A little something about it. So I think you'll be able to plan a fine celebration for her to honor who she is in your life and what she's done for you.
Oh, Sherry, thank you. She's going to have a party. I love it.
Excellent.
Deep breath, though. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Sherry. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My name's Dave. I'm filling in for Michael. Sherry, we've got a couple more folks in the queue. What do you think? Should we keep on
Perfect.
Going?
Absolutely.
Who would like to go next? This is Pasha.
Hello.
Pasha. Hey there.
Hi. I'm using every chance I get.
That's right. That's what we got to do.
Yeah. I'm up against Suda Zen trying to guide my practice into drives into some havoc. It makes it difficult even like going to a retreat. And also comes with all kind of, let's reflect, I mean, past few years, what you've practiced, and what you've got, and all sorts of conversations that I would say drive me crazy, because while it's happening, I can't do anything else. Kind of blocks my life, and then I realize, well, I just get into this a fight with my conditioning, and then I need to step back. And this been process for a long time for me of finding my mentor is. For some reason, it's very challenging for me.
You know, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but this is what occurs to me when I listen to you, because there's that place that we get into, that kind of stuck place where it can get a hold of us and just, I picture, it's a disgusting image, never mind. So, but it
just grabs you and it won't turn loose of you until it finishes with you. And mm-hmm. I think it's a perfect use for a mantra. So to think about what you would like to say, you know, so what occurs to me would be something along the lines of, yes, that may be true, but right now what I need to do is just be kind to this person. Or you're probably right, but what I'm working on is compassionate acceptance. So it's a way of saying, you know, it's not trying to get rid of conditioning. It's not arguing with it. It's acknowledging, yeah, probably everything you're saying is right on target, but, you know, I just can't worry about that right now. Now, I don't think for a second that what it's saying is on target, of course, but it beats arguing with it because you've probably noticed that you can't win those arguments.
No,
so, yeah, so you just say, yeah, I'm sure you're right, and I'm really working on compassion for Pasha.
Hmm.
Yeah? And what the role of your mentor in that is to help you remember to do that. You know, so when the voices kick in, instead of that scattershot thing, you know, where you try to work on this issue and then that issue and how are you going to apply it to that? And there's work and there's family and there's, you know, all this. It's just, you're just a broken record. You just affirm over and over and over what's important to you, what you want, what you're doing, what you're focusing on. And at a certain point, that will become so much a part of the way you think and the way you look at things that conditioning won't be able to get you in that way any longer.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good topic for the recording, I sense.
Yes.
That I need to listen again and again.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And for you to look, you know, to work with the mentor on how would you, you know, what is it that you want to focus on? You know, how do you, what is that one-line mantra that you're going to repeat until your whole, it's almost, you know, in Zen we have koans. And it's almost like that, where all of your attention and awareness comes down to this one focus. It's the only thing that you are attending to.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly like you said, when I'm scattered around multiple topics, I'm failing on all fronts, in family.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
Which
is what it's trying to get you to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. To get distracted, to get scattered, and then it can go in for the kill.
Well, the kill for me is when I sometimes I give up and say, okay, you win this argument, I'm not arguing anymore, I'm just going to go and relax. And then it goes into like, oh, well, you just indulge yourself. You came for a treat, you're not doing any work, you're just laying down, enjoying the nature and stuff.
Yeah, so this is good because with every one of those, you can say, yeah, that's probably true. And what I'm focusing on is compassion for this person, or, you know, whatever it is that you decide to say. Every time you hear a voice, every, you know, you blah, 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 blah. Yep. Yep. I'm sure that's true. And what I'm doing is this. Okay?
Yes.
Let
thank
me know,
you.
Huh? You're most always welcome.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Batra. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, it looks like we're about out of time.
I know. It just flies, even without commercials.
Yeah. So, Phil's suggesting that we thank the folks who have hung out there in Radio Land and were unable to get on the show today. So hopefully next week, worked out whatever the heck it was, and be able to have a regular show. And a big thank you for everyone who jumped in here at Sense to Bean tonight. And
thank
we have
you,
one.
And thank you to you, Dave, for jumping in there.
Kind of filling in the gap. You know, and it was actually fun for me to hear everybody talking because, you know, here we are at the retreat center and we're all walking around in silence. We don't really know what's going on with each other. And then to suddenly just hear everybody speak about their practice, I just really got a sense of how beautiful our practice is and how much I love it. It was really, really quite nice.
Yeah. And thanks to Phil, our tech person, and Jan and Jen for good news.
Mm-hmm.
What a team.
What a team, yeah. There's been all kinds of things going on here behind the scenes. They really really show what a great team we are, so just to make it all happen.
And the kinds of things that we think back on and laugh about for years to come.
It's so true. All right, so...
I have to go now. I have to go to group. I'm on retreat here at Santa Sabina, and there are these fabulous folks I get to go do group with in a little bit. So I'm going to have to say goodnight to you.
Yeah, me too. I smell the soup cooking.
Oh. Thanks, Dave.
Hey, see you later. Thanks, Sherry.
Good night.
Bye-bye.